Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Movement Health Podcast. This week, we are kicking off our Women's Health Month for October. So during the month of October, I will be interviewing a different expert each week and learning about a different area of women's health. This week, I have the amazing Kate Driver on the show. Kate is a naturopath and thriver through perimenopause and beyond. She has been consulting as a naturopath for over 21 years, and she's dedicated to helping women feel empowered and at their best. Using diet, nutrition, lifestyle changes, and a sprinkle of natural supplements, she helps women feel fabulous through midlife and beyond. This is a fantastic interview with Kate. We are talking all about perimenopause and menopause. We chat about hot flushes, night sweats, what can we do nutritionally to support ourselves, what are some really great habits that we can do also, and how does stress affect these stages of our lives? So let's listen in and hear everything that Kate has to share with us. Hi, I'm Kate Boyle, and welcome to the Mind Movement Health Podcast. Each week, I'll be bringing you health information from diet and lifestyle to movement and nutrition. My aim is to bring you bite-sized pieces of information that you can instigate into your everyday life to change your health. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Mind Movement Health Podcast. I'm your host, Kate Boyle, and I'm super excited today because I have the wonderful Kate Driver on the show. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thanks, Kate.
It's always nice having another Kate on the show. Yeah, to welcome.
Kate's are great.
That's it. There's plenty of us around, so I always end up bumping into a couple anyway. Now, Kate, can you just introduce yourself to listeners, just share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure, yes. I'm a naturopath, and I call myself a women's health coach as well, but I'm a naturopath with over 21 years of experience, and I mainly help women over 40 in perimenopause and menopause, and just to help them get rid of their symptoms, you know, such as exhaustion and hot flushes, insomnia, fatigue, anxiety, weight gain, all of that sort of thing, with my consultations, one-on-one programs, and online consultations and in clinic as well. So I really help them to empower and teach them how to thrive through this time and become healthier, happier, and symptom-free, basically.
Well, that's amazing. That's why I wanted to have you to come on to the show today. Within my sort of in-person practice, I do a lot of work with women, and especially women, you know, over the age of 40 that may be starting to transition through to perimenopause and then into menopause. And it can be such a sort of broad, you know, range of different types of symptoms and how women feel. And I don't think, you know, I think it's getting more and more talked about, you know, there's more information getting out there, but I think because it is, can be such an individual journey for different people, that it's nice to get a little bit more information about it. So, you know, thank you for coming on the show today.
Yeah, sure. I love to share. And you're right, it is being talked about more, and it's about time. It's no longer hidden and swept under the carpet and, you know, something to be ashamed of, because yeah, so many women out there just suffer without needing to. And you know, that's what I feel like I need to be out there in the world helping people not suffer at all, because they don't need to. They can thrive, absolutely.
Which is great, which we all need to be trying to do. Now, I always ask my guests that, you know, most people that are working in the health industry have some sort of a story or a health story that kind of led them to work in this field. Do you have anything that sort of led you to sort of work in this area?
In this area particularly, yes, my own journey through perimenopause. I mean, I became a naturopath because I had hormonal issues and gut health issues, which is all tied together and all linked together. And that was 32 years ago, basically. And that's what led me to become a naturopath, because I was helped by naturopaths. Nobody else really helped me. Doctors and gastroenterologists didn't help me. And I went through perimenopause a little while ago now, and I went through, and earlier on in my perimenopause, I did suffer quite a lot because I was under a huge amounts of emotional and personal stresses in my life, And I realised, you know, after helping so many women, you know, over the last 20 years as a naturopath in the clinic and online, I just thought, well, I can apply this to myself and come up with a particular system that will really work and just get it really nailed in. And so I sort of used myself as a guinea pig and came up with this, the techniques and the system that really gets these symptoms gone pretty quickly. And so I turned it around for myself really quickly and really fine-tuned it for my clients that see me and came up with a program as well that women can go through. And so that's really what led me to it because, and like we said at the beginning, that women just don't get the help and they don't feel like they can talk about it. They assume also that they have to suffer in perimenopause and menopause, and they don't, absolutely not. So that's what I'm all about too, just to help them as much as I can, like I help myself and other clients, because they don't need to suffer. And because I've been through it myself, I know exactly, you know, what to do.
Yeah. Well, you did touch on stress. Can you sort of explain how stress may affect, you know, our transition into perimenopause and menopause?
Oh, absolutely. Stress is one of the biggest reasons that women get more symptoms than others. Now, you know, there's, you know, some women don't get any symptoms and genetically that can be a reason, but stress just exacerbates just about every health issue, basically. And because the hormones are going through a lot of changes, like they are, you know, in women or teenagers in puberty, I wasn't sure what to call them then, women in puberty, when there's lots of changes at that stage of your life, there also is in perimenopause and menopause, there's so many changes to our hormones that when you add stress to the pot, then that's going to explode the symptoms and make them worse. And it just means it increases inflammation and increases the stress of every organ of your body. And increases when you have increased inflammation, you have increased cortisol, you have increased stress hormones, the adrenal glands, which are really trying to keep you healthy throughout your whole life, but they become upset anyway because of the fluctuation with the hormones, particularly in perimenopause when they're fluctuating, and in menopause then they drop. These adrenal glands really react to that because all of these glands in our body that produce different hormones, they've all got to work together in harmony. And when you have too much stress, these adrenal glands can either be overreactive and, you know, women get more overwhelm and anxiety, or they can become underactive and dysfunctional or insufficient, whatever you like to call it, and then your body doesn't react appropriately to stress and you can feel terrible and you can feel fatigued and your symptoms of the hormonal, you know, changes that are happening can be actually a lot worse. And stress also increases cortisol, which is one of your adrenal hormones, which means then things like hot flushes and sleep can actually be prevalent as symptoms in perimenopause and menopause.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the biggest ones that I often hear from clients are hot flushes, night sweats, and not being able to sleep. So they're probably the top three that I often hear.
Yeah, okay. Well, with these women then, yeah, I would say that their adrenals, their cortisol levels need to be looked at and keeping those cortisol levels low and buffering stress. I mean, everybody has stress. I mean, look at the stress in the world at the moment. That's inevitable. That's going to be there. But we all need to learn how to buffer it and reduce it and help our bodies cope with it as much as possible. Because, yes, that's really is connected, the stress levels, which is the cortisol and those adrenal hormones that we produce to get through stress, then that will, of course, cause us to feel more stressed and also that not sleep and unwind at nighttime. And it will, cortisol antagonizes or acts against your production of melatonin, which is your sleepy hormone. And if your cortisol is too high at nighttime, if you're feeling stressed, or even if you're putting yourself through stress by working too late, or you're on your phone or some sort of device that has blue light, that can actually increase cortisol. Or if you're having an argument with your kids or your partner, then that's going to increase your cortisol and then your melatonin won't be released from your body. So that's your sleepy hormone. And, yeah, that will cause, obviously, the insomnia. But hot flushes and night sweats definitely are exacerbated by cortisol. That's one of the big ones. There's a few other things there. But, yeah, definitely when we look at women with higher cortisol levels, they tend to have higher tendency to have hot flushes and the night sweats as well. Yeah.
So what are the main, when you're working with someone and maybe you are seeing some of these symptoms come through, we know that these symptoms are exacerbated by stress. What are the sort of stress balancing techniques that you're suggesting to your clients? I know I often, you know, say to my clients, whether it's meditation or, you know, reading a book, or, you know, people are now inclined to doing journaling or colouring in. Do you have anything that you often like suggesting to our clients as well?
Yes, look, similar things. Yeah, I mean, look, I think exercise is really important because it helps you, yeah, reduce stress in your life. And it, I mean, it's definitely something I can never do without, absolutely. And it might be harder for people in lockdown, but it's going to be, you know, you just got to be creative, don't you, when it comes to exercise. Be creative and do it every day anyway without making excuses. Meditation, yoga and Pilates, all of those, absolutely. But even deep breathing is just so easy and quick. If you do the deep breathing techniques, that's not only been shown to reduce hot flushes, like in the moment when you're getting them, but reduce the cortisol and adrenaline that you're, if you're feeling really stressed and overwhelmed, and that can just put you in that really centered place really quickly. So it's just a matter of, you know, I call it the five in, five hold for five, and five out technique, and you can do that five times. Some people do it four times. But I just say to women that just hold, breathe in for a count of five, hold for a count of five, and breathe out for a count of five. Do it five times, and it should really actually start making you feel a bit more grounded. And talking about grounding, now I've just said that, the other thing I try and get women to do is put their feet or their hands in earth, water, soil, on the sand, go down the beach and put your feet in the water, anything like that, and doing grounding is really important. I mean, that's been scientifically shown to reduce inflammation, cortisol levels, even blood pressure, because that can be exacerbated by inflammation and cortisol. So grounding techniques, absolutely. Deep breathing, meditation, yoga, but also looking at with stress, having the raw nutrients as well. And that can come firstly through diet and reducing all the things that can cause, you know, because stress comes in many forms. So what I was going to say is that, you know, stress can be the food you're eating. So if you're stressed and you feel like you're eating junk food and processed food and too much sugar and too much coffee and too much alcohol, then that all that will do is exacerbate stress and increase cortisol. And we want to reduce these stress hormones. If there's external stresses in your life, emotional stresses or other physical stresses, then you've got your control over what you put in your mouth and what you eat. So I try and get women to, as much as possible, to eat low inflammatory foods or reduce foods that are inflammatory and increase foods that reduce inflammation. Sorry, that's what I was trying to say. So inflammatory foods would include, you know, I've mentioned alcohol, coffee, processed foods, sugar, really much, you know, all those things in a packet. And too much of that can definitely increase the stress in your body as well, and just add to that whole scenario of getting, you know, hot flushes more, feeling more stressed, feeling more unbalanced. You could increase your moodiness. It could increase your sleep issues if you're having all of these inflammatory foods as well, and definitely hot flushes.
Yeah, well, I think you sort of touch on a good point too, that, you know, we can have those external stresses that maybe we don't have so much control over. Maybe we've got a loved one that's unwell and that's kind of a little bit ongoing, but we can definitely control what we're going to be putting into our body and fueling our body. So that's one area that we can really start with. And I think too, you know, you may be on your menopause journey and you may be like, yep, I'm listening to the two Kates and I'm like, I exercise, you know, I'm ticking it, I'm exercise and I, you know, meditate and I breathe. But, you know, there might be that area that maybe you aren't, you know, looking at the foods or even, you know, the skincare lotions and toxins you may be putting on your skin. And there may be these areas that you could look at and evaluate and change to, which might have a further effect.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And that was a good point. Yeah, because the stresses can be a lot from those chemicals we get exposed to in the toxins. And yeah, absolutely start with the, I'm not sure how much you teach about the skincare and makeup and your personal care products, but that is a really, really big issue. And it has been studied a lot lately, and it's sort of been talked about a little bit more, that in perimenopause women, they're finding out that women that get more symptoms and have a severe perimenopause because that's, you know, actually can be a lot worse for women than the menopausal symptoms. Perimenopause, when there's changes start to happen because the hormones are fluctuating so much, they're going up and down and up and down, whereas in menopause they tend to just to slowly drop. Perimenopausal women tend to get more symptoms, and what these studies have shown is the women that get the more extreme symptoms tend to have a higher chemical load in their life. So that can be through what we get exposed to in the environment sometimes isn't under our control, but with our skincare, our makeup, our hair care, any of our personal care products like deodorants, and then what we clean with in our house or our workplace, or what we use in our garden, we all need to be as natural as possible. And even things like the plastics that everybody's trying to go BPA free, but even getting rid of plastics altogether, because all plastics will cause an a hormone imbalance, and they're called endocrine disruptors or endocrine disrupting chemicals or EDCs for that reason, is because they really imbalance your hormones, and they play havoc with your hormones. So there's loads of them, and it's not that hard now because we've got so much at our fingertips, haven't we? You can just order anything online that's organic and natural, and that's so good for you that we don't really have to say, well, how do I do that?
Yeah, exactly. I've just done a series on the podcast in September, and I had some guest experts on, but I did cover skincare, makeup, food for skin, because I do think that's, a really big area that there's so many toxins and chemicals, and we kind of don't think about those. Well, I think that's one area a lot of people don't tend to think about, and they can, our skin's our biggest organ, so we absorb those chemicals. Absolutely. And they just have that flow and effect to our hormones, our estrogen, etc. So I'm sure some of my listeners that have sort of listened to previous episodes are kind of relating to definitely what you're saying there. And also, you make a really great point. We do have everything at our fingertips nowadays. It's great that there are some more swaps coming through, like the reusable coffee cups rather than, takeaway ones or using plastic. But I think, sometimes it's making that conscious decision, and there's always more we can do. It's just looking for those, either easy or convenient swaps that we can do.
Oh, absolutely. And just one thing at a time. I mean, you might want to use certain things up until they break or they run out, and then say, okay, now finish that product. Let's just swap. I'm trying to use two words at once at the moment, swap and switch. switch those over to something natural. Yeah, and just one step at a time. Otherwise it becomes overwhelming, but the more you can do, the better you're going to feel generally at any stage in anybody's life, but particularly in perimenopause and menopause, when the body is under, a lot of stress just because of these hormonal changes and what's happening with other stresses. This is something you can control. Again, we need to look at those things that we can control and really make a big change with.
Yeah. And with perimenopause and menopause, is there a kind of time range that, women sort of transition through perimenopause for a certain number of years, or can it be quicker for some women than others?
Yes, definitely. And look, perimenopause generally starts in your mid-40s, and that's the time when that women experience changes and start getting these symptoms that they've never had before, or their menstrual cycle starts going a bit what I call wonky, or starts showing new symptoms that you haven't had before. You might start getting a longer cycle or a shorter cycle, or heavier periods or lighter periods, or headaches or pain. And so that really can happen at any time. And for some women like myself, I probably started early 40s, whereas some can start in their late 30s. It depends on what's happened in their life and their hormone imbalance prior, but also the stresses in their life at that time. Stress can definitely trigger it off. Somewhere between late 30s to early 40s it can start, but with some women it can start their mid 40s and only happen for a few years. That transition might only be 2 years, but I would say a lot of women I see would be somewhere between 5 and 10 years that they go through perimenopause. Now it doesn't mean that you've got terrible symptoms the whole time. That's why
because it's like, no.
with myself, and I've seen this with loads of women, they're just at the beginning of it, they're not sure what to do, and they might have suffered for 6 months and thought, well, this is not going away. And then, we can actually work on it really. I work quite closely with women to find out personally what's happening with their symptoms and what exactly they need. And we can sort of nip it in the bud pretty quickly. So, you know, they might only suffer for, you know, 6 months to a year. And then the rest, even though they're still in perimenopause, they just have a really easy one. So they have symptom-free. Their hormones are still fluctuating and changing and doing what they're meant to be doing, because your ovaries aren't like they used to, and they start shutting down. So that's normal. But they don't, they don't suffer. So that can still be easy. And then menopause is when the hormones just start dropping altogether. They don't necessarily fluctuate and go up and down. Like in perimenopause, women tend to be quite often estrogen dominant, and that can cause hot flushes. Whereas in menopause, you can still get hot flushes, but the estrogen tends to drop, and that can still cause hot flushes and cause sleeping issues. And the low progesterone can cause sleeping issues and more inflammation and joint aches and pains and all these sort of issues. And the menopause can last anywhere. They say the average is about 4 to 5 years, the symptoms in menopause. But again, it doesn't have to be symptomatic. It can be symptom-free or very minimal symptoms. And, you know, sometimes up to 7 years, maybe 10 for some women, but probably I would say average 4 or 5 years with menopausal symptoms. And then you're in post-menopause, when you just don't really feel like you've got any symptoms at all, or you've been through those changes, your body's settled into the fact that you've got less hormones, and that's the way it's meant to be, because that is the way it's meant to be. We're not meant to be creating babies anymore. So that's really it.
Yeah, I think some of the points that you brought up there is, one, it's going to be most probably over a period of years. So if you are struggling with symptoms, then it's definitely worth chatting to somebody, getting help, because you're probably going to be experiencing it for a while anyway.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why sometimes women wait. They think, oh, this might just go away. But, you know, every now and then I get women that work with me that say, oh, I've actually had this for 4 years now. And I'm like, because they just thought it would perhaps go away, or it wasn't really anything. And, you know, if you're not aware of perimenopause, or that it can be worse than menopause, then, you know, you can think it's anything, really. And people just think, well, perhaps I am depressed, or perhaps I am just have general anxiety, or perhaps there's something else going on that's causing this. But perimenopause is such, encompasses such a wide range of symptoms that, it is called perimenopause for that reason. It's when the hormones start changing, and you can do so much about it. And it doesn't have to be, and it's not complicated. I don't know whether I've made it sound more complicated, but it's definitely not. There's things that I hone in on with women that I work with that definitely we can get it, you've met perimenopause and menopause symptom-free. And I really ask women to prioritise, if they're in perimenopause now, to prioritise their health now, and don't wait until you get to menopause, because menopause is going to be a harder time to treat it. I mean, you can still treat it and reduce your symptoms, but if you actually really get your health right and everything balanced beforehand, then you'll fly through the rest of perimenopause, and menopause will be easy. Like it is for me now, you know, going through menopause, I just feel the best I've ever been. I'm in my 50s and I feel like I'm in my 30s. And you can absolutely, and I've got loads of my clients that feel like that you can feel fantastic. You don't have to suffer. It's just, it's an option, suffering. That's all I say.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that provides a lot of a hope for people, because I know, you know, growing up, I'd often, you know, hear older ladies and that talking about menopause, and it sounded horrible. You know, it sounded like, oh, I really don't want to get to that point, because, you know, they were always just complaining about all the different and the bad things that go with it. So, you know, hearing that, I'm sure gives a lot of people hope that, you know, you can go through it quite smoothly, as long as you are doing, you know, the things that are really going to look after your health. Now, you mentioned there, you know, the various different things we can do, but as a naturopath, do you support women or suggest that there are certain nutrients, you know, or vitamins or minerals, or even, you know, herbs that can really support you whilst you're transitioning through perimenopause and menopause?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Now, it's going to be quite different for perimenopause compared to menopause, because the hormones are doing different things, and it depends on each woman. For instance, some women might have adrenal fatigue, where their adrenal glands that produce these stress hormones are really low and they need nourishing. Others might have overactive adrenal glands and they get really stressed and anxious and can't sleep. Other women might have which is really common, and I really, you know, suggest that women really get this checked out, that their thyroid function is quite low, but doctors haven't picked it up because they haven't had the thyroid test. In Australia anyway, we don't test them thoroughly because Medicare has kind of clamped down on doctors and what they test. But I really encourage women to get that test thoroughly. So depending on what's happening in each woman's lives and what if they're in perimenopause or menopause, it does depend on what I suggest for them. But just generally, most people and most women at this age are magnesium deficient. That's a huge, huge, huge one. And you probably talk about that a lot, being a nutritionist. It's so depleted in
our soils,
in our food. We've got high stress levels, whether the stress is what, you know, we've just spoken about the stresses. It can be chemical overload. It can be not exercising enough. It can be allergies. It can be the fact that you don't get enough sleep or you're too busy. Everybody's got a different, what we call magnesium burn rate. So somebody that's really busy might burn up 10 times as much as somebody that doesn't really do much and hasn't got any children. So, but because of the stresses to our body at this stage as well, our body really needs magnesium. So that's probably the first thing I would look at. And if we just look at with your diet, with nutrients through your diet, I try and get women to eat all the good fats because that feeds and nourishes your hormones and your brain. A lot of women's brains at this stage suffer. They tend to get, you know, fuzzy head and concentration issues and memory issues and low mood and depression. But we need all those good fats for that, for the brain to function, but also to balance our hormones. So your good fats like your nuts and seeds and oily fish and avocados and coconut oil and olive oil. And then I try and get women to have protein every meal to balance your blood sugar levels and keep that cortisol stable. So protein foods for vegans and vegetarians would look like beans and nuts and seeds again. And if you're vegetarian, you can have eggs and dairy products if you tolerate them. And iodine's a really big one that some people don't talk about. And because everybody's sort of focusing in on vitamin D nowadays, and it's been talked about even more since this virus that's going around the world, which is very obviously important, but iodine deficiency is not really, it's sort of brushed under the carpet. And iodine deficiency is more common than we realise. And that's really important for our breast health, but also for our thyroid health. And so many people are deficient, unless you're eating seafood all the time and seaweeds and having supplements with bladderwrack. Most women are iodine deficient. So I look at iodine. And herbal wise, it is again different, but I just share one that, because otherwise perimenopause and menopausal herbs can be quite different depending on your symptoms. But one that's great to support your adrenal and thyroid function and keep cortisol at that nice balance is withania or ashwagandha. It's one of my favorite herbs. I think a lot of people call it ashwagandha now because I suppose all around the world people talk about it. It's an Ayurvedic herb that I use quite a lot I use Western herbal medicine, but a lot of people that use Ayurvedic or traditional Chinese medicine, they might call it ashwagandha. And depending, you know, it helps with sleep issues as well. So it depends when what women need it for, but most people can really benefit from that wonderful herb. It's what we call an adaptogen herb as well. So it also helps buffer stress and helps our body adapt to stress when there's stresses that we can't control, which is pretty much everyone.
I use ashwagandha. I pop it in my smoothie in the morning. So again, you can't taste it. I'll add it in, or sometimes if I'm making a chia pudding or something like that, I'll add it into that.
Oh, so lovely.
One that I use. And then I've just been started adding in lion's mane. It's a mushroom mix essentially, but chaga and lion's mane and that, and I've been finding that that's been quite good for me in my stage, right? Just anyway, with immunity, concentration and all that sort of stuff. So I think adaptogens are sort of, do you know what I mean, people know about them but they might not know too much about them or how to use them. So if people are starting to sort of looking to add maybe ashwagandha, do you suggest just starting with a supplement or getting the powder and looking to add it into maybe smoothies or things like that?
Oh, look, generally I suppose this is the way that we've always been trained, is to make sure you look at a really good quality product that's got the activated ingredient is there, is standardized. because there's so many herbs out there that aren't standardized and you know, they're, oh, I can't think of the word, tainted, I think, with other herbs. Like they might fill up other, if they're trying to sell it cheaply, especially in some Asian places, they might, depends where the, you know, the company is, but yeah, it might be tainted with other herbs. They sort of use it as a filler, a cheaper herb. So I always look at standardized. When it comes to methane, you can have quite large amounts. So I generally look at capsules, and I do use capsules, liquids and tablets. But at the same time, I like you, like I do it sort of more in a food way where I have herbal teas and I add Withania tea all the time. I could have 3 or 4 cups a day. And I prefer it like that because I love herbal teas, because I don't drink coffee or alcohol or anything else like that. Herbal teas is my thing. So I've got a whole pantry full of herbal teas of every kind. So I'd rather incorporate my herbs that way. And sometimes I do take it in a supplement and a tablet. And most of the clients that come to see me, if they've got severe symptoms, then I will get them to take a concentrated form in a tablet or supplement, because you can't have enough tea, or maybe in a powder if it's a really good quality powder, that's fine. But when you're getting symptoms, which I'm not, but that's why I have it in the tea. But if somebody came to me and said, oh well, I really can't sleep at all, I've got full-on hot flushes, I feel anxious and stressed and overwhelmed all the time, then I would definitely get them on a tablet that gives them a lot more. And it's the same with all the herbs, really. I try and start them there, and then once the symptoms reduce and they're starting to feel better, for maintenance it's probably good to have, you know, a little bit in your smoothie, or have a cup, you know, a few cups of tea a day with these herbs in it. But you know, but some women don't like the herbs. They don't like the taste. They don't want to have these horrible tasting things. Not that we're saying it's horrible, but they would just, you know, prefer to swallow a tablet. And I get a lot of clients like that. And I totally get it. Whatever's easy for you, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's good that there are options. I know I was visiting an acupuncturist at a time when my menstrual cycle after having babies was just a little bit out of whack. And so he gave me this mixture of, you know, herbs to go home and boil up. And I'm a herbal tea drinker. I love all my different herbal teas. But that concoction of herbs that I had to drink was so horrendous that, you know, I really had to hold my nose and get it down. So I think it's great that if there are options of supplements and stuff, that there's something for everybody. Yeah. But, yeah, I only did it for a period of time and it helped, so I kept going, but it's not like I'd want to do long term anyway.
No, you know, fair enough. And sometimes you will do that if you're suffering enough. I mean, it doesn't really matter what it tastes like sometimes, does it? And if you know it helps you, then that's good. Yeah, but that's a lot of Chinese herbs can be like that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I used to use a lot of liquid herbs. I use less now because of that. I mean, client compliance isn't as good with liquids because so many people go, oh my god, it tastes terrible. And look, you know, I say, well, put it in a bit of pineapple juice, or, you know, try and put it in something that you can sort of dampen the taste, but not everybody wants to do that. But yeah, adaptogens are fantastic herbs, and yeah, a lot of the medicinal mushrooms, like lion's mane, is pretty good. But all the other medicinal mushrooms, not only good for your immune system, but they help you buffer the stress as well. So they're pretty good too.
Yeah, well, there are, I know with the powder that I take, like it's organic, it does really have to be sourced really well, especially with the mushrooms. So I'm aware of that. And I think that's something that if you are looking at taking and looking at, you know, the four main, you know, mushrooms, herbs, the lion's mane, chaga, cordyceps, and I can't think of the last one off the top of my head, but if you're looking at, yeah, that's it. You've really got to make sure that they are sourced really well, because like you said, contaminants can, have a big, just destroy the good effects of them, essentially.
Oh, yeah, contaminants. I think that might have been the word, because there's years ago there was a lot of herbs that were looked at and people would pull them apart and actually say, okay, this didn't contain hardly any of this herb that's on the label. But in Australia, they're our TGA. Yeah, is pretty strict. I think I'll just be careful with some other places in the world. They might not have strict laws. The government might not be, you know, monitoring every supplement. But yeah, I think sometimes food grade can get away with it a bit more than supplements as well. But it sounds like you're on a good roll, yeah, because organic is really important. We don't want to be taking loads of things that are sprayed as well with chemicals. That sort of can, you know, is counterintuitive, isn't it?
Yeah, well, again, it's another toxin or chemical that we're adding into our diet, but unknowingly, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And it goes that same with your food as well. Try and have organic as often as possible, because those are the chemicals that are sprayed on your fruit and veggies. If you're eating loads of those every day and you're not having organic, then you're getting loads of chemicals just by having, you know, your natural foods, unfortunately, which is not great.
No. Well, that's it. And I think too, again, it's one of those areas that more people are becoming aware of. And even if you often say to my clients, buying organic can be really expensive. So if you're going to start anywhere, you know, look at the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 and start with those, and then, you know, do what your budget allows and then start to build on that.
Oh, absolutely. Start growing your own as well. More of us should be growing our own stuff.
Yeah.
That's probably the better, if you, you know, even in little pots. You don't have to have a big garden. You can just do it in pots and, you know, little veggie patches here and there that you can wheel around in big pots or a wheelbarrow or something. Yeah.
Well, I was listening to a really interesting fact on another podcast that said in America during World War II, 40% of their fruit and vegetables actually came from homegrown gardens, vegetable gardens, which I never knew that fact, and I thought that was astounding. But because, you know, fresh fruit and veggies became so scarce, and that during those times more and more people started growing them at home, and 40% of the consumption was actually coming from homegrown, which I think is amazing.
That's fantastic. We've got to get back to that more. I think it's sort of coming around a full circle now.
That's it. I think a lot of people have, you know, brought out their green thumbs with lockdowns and had a go at gardening. So I hope it's something that people can sort of continue with as well as we sort of, you know, move out of lockdowns and life returns to normal.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Stay with the good stuff. I mean, and then you know, you've got control of what you eat more and in season. I mean, that's really important to do too, is to eat what's in season. And when you're growing it, you're sort of more aware of what's in season and what's more nutrient dense. If you just go out the back and pick it straight away and eat it, it's got so many more nutrients in it because it's so fresh. Whereas when you go and buy it from a shop, even if it is organic, it could be, a week or two old, or in some cases in supermarkets, they can be months old. So you very low nutrients in foods like that. So it makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think it's sort of what we sort of said before, just doing one thing at a time, start small, build on that so it doesn't feel so overwhelming.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing, because women in perimenopause and menopause feel overwhelmed anyway. That's just one of the symptoms. So we don't want to make it worse, so just one step at a time. And, I suggest that, we start at the most important thing. I mean, if that's all sort of, like you said, some women are taking this and that and they're already doing so many good things, then we just have to look at with each person what they're doing already and what else they need to add to what they're doing, and try and just add a few things, even if it's one change they make every week, that they can say, okay, this week I'm going to do this, next week I'm going to do that. And and it's not only the food, but it's also, looking at the way these foods and the nutrients affect your gut health, because your gut health and your gut microbiome, or the bacteria in your intestines are fed by these fibres in your food. If you're having more of these great organic fruits and veggies and plant foods that are high in these certain fibres that feed the good bacteria, then that's going to have a good effect on your hormones and even your mental health, because the bacteria in your gut has a big influence on our hormone balance and not only for our sex hormones, our estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, but also our serotonin and dopamine, which are our happy hormones and our motivational hormones. And so our gut health needs to be healthy too. And this is sort of all ties in together with what we've been talking about with the diet, having organic food. If you're having sprayed food, the glyphosate that's sprayed on the food has been shown to cause leaky gut. So it causes inflammation in the gut. Or the intestines, and it can kill off the good bacteria, because the pesticides or the glyphosate that's spread on the food kill bugs, but it can kill some of that good bacteria in our intestines too if we're eating enough of it. So that's really important as well. Another reason for organic,
Yeah. And I think you bring up a good point that, you know, our gut health really affects all other areas of our health. So whether or not we're, you know, going through perimenopause or menopause, or, you know, we're still having babies or whatever stage of life you're in, your gut health is always very important.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's sometimes what people don't think about when they're looking at hormones. You know, I see this quite a lot with clients that have already been taking this and that supplement, and they come to see me and they're like, I'm doing all I can for my hormones, and, you know, they show me what they're doing, and they're completely missing the gut. And you don't have to have obvious symptoms. Some women don't get any symptoms. And the amount of times I find that, you know, that needs to improve a lot. I would say it's more common. I mean, perimenopause and menopause, because inflammation increases because of this hormone change, then a lot of women do get gut inflammation, and the inflammation actually destroys some of that gut bacteria. So there naturally sort of seems to be more of an imbalance and more of a problem with gut issues in perimenopause and menopause, even if they didn't really suffer a lot earlier on, or if they're not really aware of it. So that's why I also hone in on that and focus in on the diet, and but also gut issues and what we need to look at with gut health as well and digestion.
Yeah, I think if in doubt, always come back to your gut health first and reevaluate.
Oh, absolutely. Like you said, it's such a big influence on everything in our health. Yeah.
Definitely. Now, if there's one health tip that you could leave listeners with that they could go off, you know, they listen to this episode and they go, yep, I'm going to instigate one thing today, what would it be?
Do you know what? I think I'm going to have to say, well, it's sort of it's reducing stress, because it has such a big influence on everything that you could be taking every supplement under the sun that everybody said this is amazing for perimenopause or menopause, and do everything with your diet. You can exercise perfectly. You can have, you know, look perfect and feel like, you know, you're doing everything. But unless you work on the stress levels in your life, and we've talked about that, what they can look like to you, if it's going to be different for everyone, and you can't eliminate it, but buffering it and trying to help control the stress, then, you know, that's going to ruin everything, really. If you've got so many people that don't improve with any, you know, at any stage of their life with their health issues, and they wonder why things aren't improving, usually it comes down to the stress side of it. So whether it's looking at, you know, like the chemicals, or it might be just stress from your family, or you're not getting enough sleep, or you're getting too much sleep, exercising, whatever that stress is in your life, I think that's probably the biggest tip. Because I was going to talk about reducing inflammatory foods and getting rid of all those processed foods that are increasing stresses, but that is part of the stress. So stress encompasses so many different things. So yeah, that's what I would say. Absolutely.
Amazing. Where can listeners reach out, connect with you? What are your socials that they can contact you on?
Oh, sure. Yes. So, well, on Facebook, I'm Kate Driver Naturopath and Women's Health Coach. But if you just search Kate Driver Naturopath, I've got a website called katedrivernaturopath.com.au. I'm just thinking what else I have. I do have a masterclass that's running at the moment, but you can look that up on my website and on Facebook. Oh, and I have a private Facebook group called Over 40 and Fabulous, which is supporting women through perimenopause and menopause. That's a free Facebook group. So I jump in there every day and give women tips and support them there. So if you just look for that, I can let you in and accept your request. If you want to join that, that'd be wonderful to see you there. And any questions, feel free to contact me on my website. My email is katedrivernaturopath@gmail.com. And that's pretty much it.
Amazing. Well, I'll link that all up in the show notes too, so listeners can head to the show notes and they'll be able to click those links and reach out and connect and all the rest. So thank you so much for coming on the show today, Kate. It's been great. I have learned, you know, more about, you know, getting prepared for perimenopause, because I think, you know, even myself, you hear a lot about, to me, menopause, but not so much about perimenopause. So I think it's just highlighted even more to me that that's an area that, you know, if I do feel like I am struggling, that I'm one, going to get help, and two, going to really, you know, I already prioritize my health, but it might be a time where I, you know, have to really just hone in that little bit more.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I highly advise it for everybody. And thank you so much for having me on the show. Thanks, Kate. It's been great too.
Thanks for listening into the podcast. Please hit subscribe to be updated for each time we release a new podcast.